Guess what this is a picture of? Anybody can guess? How did you know? Yes. This is Moses, Moshe on Mount Nebo. And this is just before God takes him, just before he's going to die. Today's message, if you want to go to the next slide, please, is called A Glimpse of Glory. A Glimpse of Glory. This coming week, actually tomorrow, begins in the evening Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's one of the prophetic feasts of the Lord that speak of the final ingathering at the end of the days. And I believe we're getting closer and closer to that time. I know I say it all the time. I say it this year. I'll say it next year. But I can never be wrong if I say it's getting closer and closer. Because every year it's getting closer there. And I got a little hum or something up here. Or a little echoing, maybe. So at the end of Sukkot, and Sukkot is an 8-day festival. At the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, during the 8th day, which is Shmini Atzeret, which we also celebrate the next day as Simchat Torah, the rejoicing with the Torah, we conclude what's known as the annual cycle of reading from the Torah. Earlier you saw the Torah scroll. Remember, we processed it around. Within that Torah scroll, our Jewish people read 54 distinct portions or sections throughout the year. We start after the Jewish New Year, which we just celebrated, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. At the end of Simchat Torah, which is going to be shortly, we begin that cycle over again. And we begin to read from it once more. But the last portion that we read this year and every year is coming up. And it's from Deuteronomy chapter 34. And I want to read, it's a short little chapter here. And this is going to tell a similar story to that picture there. So if you can go back one slide, go back. Did you? There you go. Moshe or Moses on Mount Nebo there. And listen to these words from Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land. And this is what's taking place here. The Lord is going to show Moshe all the land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I will let you see it with your own eyes." And here the Lord is letting Moses see all this land that he had promised, the promised land to him. But you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor was his strength gone. And the children of Israel grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the Ruach, filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel listened to him as they did and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his officials in the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. But let's just pause there for a second, because we know, we who are believers, know that Yeshua not only has done miraculous signs and wonders far greater than Moses and have seen God face to face, but because he is one with God. So this is speaking of a time period before Yeshua's presence here on earth. He was with the Father, but now, when he came to this earth, he performed so many miracles of raising the dead, opening the eyes of blind, the ears that were deaf would be opened, the lame would walk. He did so many miracles. And someday, you and I are going to be able to stand in the presence of the Lord. Now, this Torah parsha that I just read is one of the saddest accounts in all of God's Word. I think this is very sad. It breaks my heart. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being brought to the very border of the land? The land that's flowing with milk and honey, and then being told you can't enter into it. Can you imagine the feeling, the pain, the disappointment, the tears that were coming from your eyes? Why, Lord? Why can't I enter in? Why, Lord? Let me enter in, Lord. I want to enter into the land of promise, O God. Can you visualize yourself on the verge of entering paradise? And then the gates closed forever, slammed in your face. The land that was promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, no longer in your reach. It's gone. Yet, you get a glimpse. Just a glimpse of what could have and what should have been yours to enjoy. You only get a little glimpse of it. You get to see the promised land, the heavenly Jerusalem, and it seems as though you can even stretch out your hand and grab and grasp it. It's so close. It's so close to your touch, within your reach. But alas, it's forever gone. It's not within your reach. Lost forever. And as you're there, the tears begin to well up in your eyes. And they begin to stream down your face. And there's a lump in your throat that seems to be choking you to death. And the pain and the sorrow is unbearable as you weep and you remember what could have been if it wasn't for your rebellion and if it wasn't for your sin against God. But it's too late. It's just too late. It's too late. And as you're sitting there right now, you're thinking, oh, poor Moses. Poor Moses. I feel for him. If only he would have obeyed God, and if only he would not have rebelled. Well, oh well, praise God. Let's go eat lunch. But yet, listen to this. This scenario, this story here I'm talking about has nothing to do with Moses. Nothing whatsoever. It's all about you. It's all about each and every one of you here in this room. God has brought you to the verge of entering paradise. And eternal life is within your reach. It's within your very grasp. And the parochet, the curtain, has been torn in two. And the way to the Kadosh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies, is available for you. And in the midst of that room lies that golden ark of the covenant. And covering that ark is the atonement cover, where God's mercy is. And overshadowing God's atonement cover are the cherubim, the cherubim. And the Shekhinah, the glory of God, dwells between His mercy covering and those cherubim, those cherubim. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, it says, Hebrews 9, 11 through 15, we read, when Messiah came as Kohen Gadol, the high priest of good things that are already here, He went through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of creation. He didn't enter by the means of the blood of goats and the blood of calves, but He entered the most holy place once and for all by His own shed blood. That's how we have entry into the Holy of Holies, by the shed blood of our Messiah, having obtained eternal redemption. And the blood of goats and the blood of bulls and the ashes of a red heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will that blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Messiah is a mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. And again, as I said, we're not speaking of Moshe, we're speaking of you. And the voice of the King is resounding from the Kodesh HaKodeshim, from the Holy of Holies. The voice of the King is resounding. It is finished! It is finished! It is finished! And Matthew 23:24 tells us, then the King will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then in verse 41 it says, then He will say to those on His left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And nothing that we can ever say or do would ever be able to change the mind of God. Our sin and our rebellion have sealed our fate. No sacrifices for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. No pleading for God's mercy will change any end result. We have to get things right now, while there still is the opportunity, while there still is the time. We have to get our lives right with God. Moses said in Deuteronomy 3:23, listen to these words. At that time I pleaded with God. O sovereign Lord, You have begun to show to Your servant Your greatness and Your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do the deeds and the mighty works that You do? Can you imagine yourself saying these words? And then he's remembering what God told him, that he's not going to enter into the promised land. And he goes on and he says here, let me go over. Let me go over. Let me see the good land beyond the Jordan. Let me see it, Lord. That fine country in Lebanon. But because of you, and he's speaking here to the people, but because of you, the Lord was angry with me. In other words, the children of Israel, in their constant sinning and rebellion against God, got Moses so angry and upset with them that when God told them to just strike the rock one time and speak to it, the water would come out. But he said, you rebellious people, and he bangs on the rock, and he bangs on the rock, and he bangs on the rock, and it makes it seem like the water is coming out because of him doing something, and all the glory and all the honor is being taken away from God because of it. And Moses' anger gets the best of him. Does that ever happen to you? That you get angry and you do things you shouldn't do? Yeah? Would you be upset if I say sometimes I get angry with you all? No? I get angry at you. I'm a human being. We all get upset sometimes, don't we? We get upset. People do things that upset us. People say things that upset us. It seems like sometimes people do things or they go out of their way to hurt us, don't they? Doesn't it seem that way? But here is poor Moses crying here, crying out to God. Can you imagine it? Please let me go over. Please let me enter. Please, Lord, please. I'm sorry. Please let me go. But nothing he said or he did can change it at all. And the same thing, when our time comes, and God is calling us from this world to the next, be it that we die of natural or normal death or something, or the Lord shall come, whatever it may be, no pleading with God is going to change anything because your fate is already settled. That's why now is the time that we have to get our lives right with God. Now, as you look at your life today, as you reflect on your life today, can you say without a doubt that God is pleased with your life? Honest. Can you say with 100% certainty that God is pleased with your life? In other words, raise your hand if you walk on water. Anybody here walk on water? I used to do it a lot when I lived in Chicago. And I had my ice skates on, you know. I ice skate walking on water, but I'm... No, I don't think so. Have you done all that you can do to please and honor a holy God? Have you done everything you could do? Or are you still, listen, are you still the same person that you were 6 months ago or 6 years ago? In other words, has there been no change in your life, no growth in your life in any way whatsoever? Are you still struggling with the same sin and rebellion that you struggled with 10 or 20 years ago without any change, unwilling to change, outright disobedience to God? And look what we see. We see nowadays in this world we live in, and I tell you, this world is beyond creepy and cruddy. It's so sad. Husbands fighting with wives, wives fighting with husbands, children in rebellion and disobedience, everyone's life out of order, people always being late, undependable, lacking commitment, irresponsible, plagued with lust and greed and pride and arrogance. Unwed mothers everywhere. Children with no fathers everywhere. People controlled by habits rather than God's Spirit. Unable. And again, this is speaking to you and me and all of us. Are you unable to give up drinking or smoking or drugs, overeating or sexual sin? Are you lacking in zeal for the things of God? No hunger or thirst for righteousness at all? And you expect the holy God to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Come and share your master's happiness." Do we really expect that if we haven't changed, if we're the same, if we're not willing to change, if we're still weighed down in sin? Matthew 7:21 through 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Goes on to say, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, didn't we drive out demons and perform all sorts of miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" You know, Yeshua would say to all of us from Revelation 2, verses 4 through 5, these words, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." Be honest with me. Do any of you in here feel that you have forsaken your first love? We're talking about Yeshua, that you have forsaken that love, that you don't have that love that you used to. You don't have that zeal. You don't have that desire. You don't want to pray. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to go to synagogue or church. You feel empty and deserted inside. Have you forsaken your first love? Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. If you don't repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What were the things you did at first when you were a believer? I remember when I first came to the Lord, how excited I was. I wanted to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, all my strength. I wrote letters to all my family everywhere and to tell them what took place, tell them about Yeshua. Many of them thought I was crazy, especially, you know, for being Jewish and they don't believe in Yeshua and thought I converted to something crazy or a cult and all these other things. But I wanted to tell people about Yeshua. I wanted to read the Bible so much. I started in, I don't know where to start. I just started in Genesis and I read through the Bible straight two or three times. I was excited. I wanted to do that. But I tell you what, I still love the Lord, but I don't read the Bible like that anymore. I'm honest with you. I don't read it voraciously, like I'm starving to death, but I should. I know. I don't share maybe as much with the zealousness that I used to. I still do when God opens up the opportunity. But he said here, do the things you did at first. And this one, I'm going to give you a plug here, Bob, is teaching on Tuesday the Way of the Master, which is a 10-week program, which 8, 10, 25, whatever it is, it teaches you how to share the good news in a very effective manner that has a very good success rate in bringing people to the Lord. That's Tuesdays at 7? Yeah. So they meet Tuesdays 6:30. They eat some stuff together. 7 o'clock, the class begins. So if you're really interested in that, and there's videos with it and books, handouts, and tracks and all of that, it's a great... Yeah, it's a great program. And this will help you to get maybe some of that zeal back that you've lost, and help you to, once again, to start sharing, doing the things you did at first. And then Yeshua said also in Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 1, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and obey, and repent. Again, he's telling us, wake up. We need to awake from the slumber. We have gotten so used to not doing the things we did at first that we don't even do hardly any of them anymore. We need to get back to reading the Word of God. We need to get back to praying. We need to get back to sharing the love of God with the lost and the dying. We need to do that. Wake up, it says. Strengthen what's left within you. Build yourselves up in the most Holy Spirit. Furthermore, then he said it in chapter 13, or chapter 3, verse 14, Yeshua says, I know your deeds and that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, because you're not hot and you're not cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Oh. I know so many people who are lukewarm. I mean, you may show up here on Saturdays, or you may not. Or you may just come once in a while. You may come more often. You may read your Bible here and there, and on occasion you might pray for a couple minutes. Let me tell you, if that speaks of you, you are lukewarm. You're not hot and you're not cold. You're stagnating. You're rotting. As you sit there, you're rotting. From the inside out, you're rotting. And you need to get yourself hot for the Lord once again. Hot, boiling hot and excited for the things of God. To have zeal for the things of God. And it would be easy for me to say, oh, you know, since you're lukewarm, you're not hot or cold, and you're not going to get hot, well, just go all the way then. You know, just get totally cold. Just give it all up. And, you know, that would be the easy thing, but I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you, you need to stop straddling the fence already and make a commitment to God and to follow after Him and do the things you know you're supposed to do. Thank you, Lord. And he goes on to say, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You know, God is telling us. God is telling you. God is telling me here that we need to be faithful, even to the point of death. We have to be faithful so that we may receive that crown of life. Listen, I want it. I want that crown of life. You're not going to take it from me. I want it. He's saying to us, I'm coming soon also. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. I'm going to put that crown, I'm going to hold it like this, and you're not going to get it off my head. You're going to have to fight me for this crown. I'm going to keep this crown. No one's going to get it from me here. Lord is telling us to press on toward that goal to win that prize for which we're called heavenward in the Messiah, Yeshua. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10, it says that the Lord knew Moses face to face. We read that earlier, the opening part there. Face to face. And yet he could not enter the promised land because of his sin and his rebellion. It baffles me. I'm telling you, when I read this portion from Deuteronomy 34 and some other ones where the Lord tells them that he won't enter the promised land, it baffles me because If anybody deserved to enter the promised land, it was Moses. 40 years of dealing with this stiff-necked, rebellious people. They tried to stone him and kill him and beat him. You know, and he goes before the Lord and begs God to forgive them time and time again. He even says, Lord, if you're going to blot their names out of the book of life, then why don't you instead blot my name out of the book of life and let them live? Willing to die and be taken out of the book of life so that they might live. Wow. But the Lord says that we can enter the promised land, the New Jerusalem, through that blood of Yeshua. However, he requires us to walk in obedience and faithfulness and perseverance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 39 kind of sums up the message today. It's kind of a long passage here. But if you have your scripture, follow through or follow with me. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. Who didn't bring their Bible with them today? Oh, you did? Okay, well, who didn't bring a Bible with you today? Okay. Like the old commercial, American Express, don't leave home without it. Okay? I know it's easy to have it on your phone and tablets and all that stuff, but it's kind of nice. You know, there you go, Shanika Scott. It's nice to touch and to feel. It is, isn't it? It's nice. Hebrews 10, verse 19. It's a call to perseverance, which we all need to do. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and a living way, open for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. In other words, stop skipping synagogue and church. You need to be going. Okay? And where was it? As some are in the habit of doing, let us also encourage one another. And all the more as we see that day approaching, or the time of the return of Yeshua coming. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received that knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. There's nothing left for you. If you keep on sinning, there's nothing left for you. There's no other sacrifice of sin available. It was already given you through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. No sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment, of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses, if you rejected the Torah, it says here, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God under his foot? Wow. Trampling the Son of God under your feet, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant and sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge; I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, the time, I'm not going to read any more of that. I was going to, but you know, the time that we have left here on this earth compared to all of human history is just like a little twinkle of your eye. Just think of all of human history, all the people who have lived, all the things that have happened. The time that we have left here until the return of the Messiah, in comparison to all of those millennium, is very short. As we move forward into this new year, we've just gone through the what's known as the Jewish New Year, the Hebrew New Year, which was the Feast of Trumpets. It's the civil New Year. As we move forward in this new year of 5,780, may this be the year where every single chain in your life is broken. Let this be the year where every single chain in your life is broken and where you finally find victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let this be the year of victory. However, it's more than just words, okay? More than just words. Right, Bob? More than just words. It's actions. It's prayers. It's fasting. It's faithfulness. It's obedience. And it's a dying to oneself. Don't end up like Moses. Don't be like Moses, who only got to see just a glimpse of glory. There, as he's standing on Mount Nebo, overlooking the promised land that was going to be the possession of all the tribes of Israel, that God had promised and covenant to them, only able just to see a glimpse of it. Don't be like that. But instead, be like Joshua. Joshua was the one who led those people into the promised land. Be like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what you need to say. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. And we read in the scriptures, and then Joshua, it calls him the servant of God, that he took the children of Israel into the promised land. This new year, may your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And may this year bring about amazing changes and victories like you've never seen before. Bless you. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord God and Father of Yeshua, the Messiah, I want to lift up every person here today. I pray that you fill them, Father, with your Ruach, with your Spirit, with your breath, that you would blow upon every life here. I pray that all infirmity and sickness, disease and injury be gone. I pray, Father, that all laziness in regard to the things of God would be stripped away. I pray for a new zeal, a new excitement, a new fire to take place. A voracious appetite for the Word of God. A voracious appetite to speak the Word of God, to share the Word of God, to fast, to pray. Lord, do a new work in every life here in the name of Yeshua. And I bind every work of the enemy, every work of our flesh that comes against us in any way whatsoever, that we might have victory in our lives over sin, death, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Thank you, Lord. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise and the worship and the majesty in Yeshua's name. Amen. 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 Afterward, as usual, you come up and help put the things away.